Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I'm Ryan. Over there is Maria, the voice you probably recognize from the last 5 years on this channel. If you haven't noticed or just catching us now, we are switching up the format and having some fun with it. Mara and I enjoy learning stuff about stuff. So all of these future episodes are going to be me and her kind of doing podcast-style stuff on camera. And today we have a candidate, and it can break eggs, it can destroy planets. It brings life-giving rain, and some people and animals seem to be able to defy it. Today is all about gravity. So, Maria and I scoured the internet. We found all the fun things that, well, all the things we thought were fun. Compiled them on a list, and we are bringing them to you guys here today. If you see us looking off to the right a little bit like that, we've got our list set up right there, so we can kind of just go right down, and we're going to talk about them. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Mar, you want to start us off, or do you have anything fun you want to say about your search for gravity?
About the gravity of the matter.
Yes.
Actually, it was very interesting because there's so many things about the basic laws of nature that are, although they're basic, they're very complicated, very complex, and there is a lot of science behind it. So one of the things that I found the most fascinating, and most of you know, I mean, we know that Sir Isaac Newton discovered gravity, but what we don't realize is gravity doesn't pull. It's not a force that has an opposite reaction. Like in the different laws of physics, something for every reaction, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Well, gravity doesn't pull. It just, instead, the space is what pulls. So gravity only its apparent effect is bend in space. And that's what I found so weird. Like we think it's a strong force, but it's actually one of the weakest.
Yeah. Yeah. You want a fun fact to throw on top of your fun fact?
Do it.
Okay.
So bend the space for me.
Yes. So Newton was actually only 23 when he basically discovered the laws of universal gravitation. And the thing that I thought was extra interesting is the tree that he was sitting under when the story of the apple falling on him and giving him the kind of aha moment is actually still standing outside of his childhood home. So you can go visit the site of where that aha apple basically helped him discover gravity.
When gravity took place.
To this day, yeah.
But he didn't say Eureka.
I don't think he said that because I also think he spoke English. So it was probably some other version of Eureka. No, he didn't say any version of Eureka, probably. All right, this one is for everybody that's joining us from Wild Chats. All the people that came on over to check out the new channel, this one is for you guys. I'm dedicating it. NASA, actually, they can't send birds to space. It's sad. They can send a lot of different animals to space. They can't send birds because birds actually need gravity to swallow. So birds would not last very long whatsoever if they sent them to space.
It's so beautiful how animals are so designed for certain tasks and certain things. Mm-hmm. And as we learn about each of them, we also learn how their breathing goes and why they will need gravity or why they need to be able to expand their bodies in order to breathe, and they don't have the lungs we have. So that's pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Humans could one day colonize other planets. Planets who have gravities that are stronger than ours. They could colonize it, but up to three times stronger gravity. But there is a limit to how much gravity this gravity can take. Mm-hmm. Four times the Earth's gravity or above, we will also actually not be able to sustain our life. And that has to do with blood flow to the brain.
Okay.
So if there is too much gravity, too much of the space being bent, then our blood flow will not be able to function.
Yeah. Hearts can only pump so strong. If you guys have ever tried to pump up a raft with a little teeny tiny pump, only so much. And so yeah, your heart can only defy so much gravity to get blood up to your brain,
basically. Mm-hmm.
That's what Mara's saying. That makes sense. I always thought this would be an interesting experiment, and hopefully sometime in my life I get to actually try it in real life. I am definitely one of those people. I have a book, basically, and it asks you a bunch of random weird questions. And one of the questions is, like, if you could go to another planet and live on it, like, would you? I am definitely one of the people that would be like, I'm all for it. That's it. But it's a one-way trip. That's fine. I'm all about it.
You're see what happens.
And there's like a 25% chance you'll even survive getting there. That's fine. I'm all about it. I will give it a try. See what happens. So I might get to do this experiment one day if I'm lucky. But if you have a flame in space, because of the lack of gravity, you don't get that cool flame shape. It actually would end up just perfectly round because there's no forces pushing on it from any particular side. So it ends up round, and also it would be blue. And you can never
be cool
in the actual vacuum of space because you need oxygen in order to create a flame. So, but if you are in a weightless environment that does have oxygen, like a space station or something like that, it would be round and blue.
And the term zero gravity, somebody, as I was reading several articles, they were saying that it's actually a very lazy term because many people think of gravity as weight. So, okay. Which is not. It's not necessarily weight. Weight is a different thing. But when they talk about the zero gravity scenes in the Apollo 13, what they did, they were actually created dropping an airplane, 4 hours of airplane dropping, literally, in order to have them had the sensation of weightlessness.
Yes.
Around them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you want to share the name of that plane?
The name of the plane?
Yes. The name of the plane, because they use it for NASA astronauts also, it has been colloquial nicknamed the Vomit Comet. A lot of people can't hold their lunch when you're going up and then you go down as fast as you can, which creates weight. This is, if you guys have ever been on a plane, and I hope you never have, where the plane had a problem or it inadvertently started to dive quickly, you can feel yourself lift up off the seat.
Like a roller coaster.
They fly parabolas. Yeah, roller coaster, same thing. They just basically fly parabolas to get the weightless effect.
I actually love roller coasters. That sensation of my gut. But that's, again, you're speeding down. You're not just allowing gravity to do its force. And as a fact, if you were to go to the moon or anywhere and you drop two objects, let's say a pen and a clearly heavier object, they will fall at the same time. The thing that will make the difference is the resistance that the cup will provide. So if it flips over, then it's going to hold more air, or maybe that's actually why different animals have adapted to gliding, or, you know, because they may not be able to fly. They don't have the wings, but they're able to arch their body so they can actually play with that air. But they will fall at the same speed as an elephant if they didn't have any resistance.
Mm-hmm. Are you up or am I up?
No, I just said mine.
Okay. All right. Did you know that the Earth today actually rotates differently? Days are shorter now than they used to be. And the reason for that is the moon's gravity has actually slowed the speed of Earth's rotation.
So if you slow the speed,
it would
that
speed
means the days are longer.
Yes. Yes. I apologize. I got it backwards.
Okay, I gotcha.
Gravity grabbed us, slowed things down, and then, yeah.
Huh. I know the moon has a lot to do with our gravitational, and that's one of the reasons why the moon stays in one place. I'm reading my fact really quickly here as I comprehend this world. But if gravity didn't exist, the moon will literally flow away because, you know, it doesn't have anything holding it in place. And that's what the proximity among each other is what holds them together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of very much along those same lines, Titan, which is Saturn's largest moon, it actually has an atmosphere, gravity. And if you were human, you could actually put either wings or something, anything that would give you some breadth so air could catch and you could basically fly because of the effect of gravity. And which is actually the fact I was looking for. I wasn't looking for that fact. I thought I was about to read a different fact. So I'm going to let you do your fact, and then I'm going to try to find the fact that I was originally looking for because I really wanted to share it. I'm like, oh, that's not the fact I wanted, but that one was fun. I'd love to fly. Flying would be
cool. I think that that's a really cool one.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you look for yours.
Yes.
Actually, this is very interesting because gravity takes time.
Yes.
Like, it takes time. So, meaning that if the sun were to disappear, Earth will still be orbiting around as long as we see light, because that basically it's, if we see light is 8 minutes from the last. So every time you see, you're almost traveling through time every time you look at the sun, because you're actually grasping the sun as it was 8 minutes prior. So not only do we see distant stars as they were thousands of years ago, we still are still attached to their gravity. So even though right now, this particular moment, that star may not exist, because they're 65 million years, light years away, we're still going to feel the gravitational pull for all that length of the speed of light time before it reaches us. So, beautiful.
Okay. So I wanted to share was Jupiter is so big that it has its own gravity that affects not only it, but the asteroid belt. The reason that things couldn't coalesce into a planet is because of the gravity of Jupiter. It wouldn't allow, it was basically pushing and pulling everything in a way that it couldn't coalesce. But its effect is so strong that actually Mercury, so men very early made jars stupidly. If you guys remember that from when you were a kid, this is how we used to memorize like the locations of the planets. So men, really? Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, so-and-so.
Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus.
Yeah.
So we had to memorize them. We had no mnemonics, mnemotechnics.
Okay. I'm sure you had one. Maybe you just didn't know it. But Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. But Jupiter's gravitational influence is so strong, even within our own solar system, that Jupiter is either going to cause Mercury to crash into the sun or to fly out of our solar system eventually over time. That's how much.
Because basically the pressure they're exerting is making like you're being pulled on both sides. So you don't know if it's going to go one way, the other, or just the yanking of that force may actually spell it.
But it's interesting that it's the planet closest to the sun. So it wouldn't have that effect on us, even though we're caught between the two of them. Also, we have enough distance that the gravity isn't strong enough. Because when you're rotating around the sun, there's a very delicate balance that obviously established itself as the solar system was establishing itself. Everything kind of fell into place. So it just was interesting to me that Jupiter has that much of an influence over a planet on the other side.
So far away.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't affect us that way. And it doesn't affect Mars that way. And it doesn't affect, so there's no expectation that Mars is either going to crash into the sun or fly.
It's also
off.
Because it's so big. So they have their own gravitational pull, creating more balance.
Super tiny also. And I think that's a big part of it too, is Mercury is actually really small. So
very
that's
tiny.
That's the one I was looking for.
That's a good one. I actually have one about Pluto.
Oh, but that's, oh wait, we're doing gravity. So if we're doing planets, I would have to disqualify you, Maria, because Pluto's, it's not a planet.
You talk about okay. Mercury. And Jupiter, and their pool. So there. Scientists believe, and this is the reason why I'm mentioning it, because it has to do with gravity. So yeah, within the topic of gravity.
Yes.
So scientists believe that the ninth planet, remember they kicked Pluto out of the nine planets.
Yes.
In 2006, they decided Pluto wasn't a planet. They didn't think that the entire world was going to be an uproar about Pluto. And they were like, oops. So they kind of had to literally quickly say, we are sorry for the inconvenience. We shall put Pluto back as a planet. Which makes you wonder what's going on with the scientific community. But whatever.
Yes,
we're not getting into that.
It's a planetoid now.
Yeah, and I understand why they took it out. I understand why they took it out. And I also understand why they put it back in. So it's one of those very fencing things. But anyway, scientists believe that it's the ninth planet in our solar system. There is actually another planet,
there's
our solar system.
Yeah, there's a lot more, actually.
But hold on, there is one that is actually 10 times larger than Earth. Like they are discovering there is actually a planet beyond Pluto that is actually much larger.
Okay.
But they haven't been able to locate it.
Yeah, they can tell by the effects that it's having on the things around it. So that's how they're identifying, like, it only makes sense if.
But they haven't seen it.
But I've also heard arguments that it could be, like, dark matter stuff, because we don't know how matter.
I was going to go there.
Matter and gravity. And yes, that's the big missing piece of the equation. All these gravity facts you guys hear. If you factor in dark matter, all of a sudden everything gets a little muddled. So in the comments, I will definitely understand when people are like, well, that isn't true because of this, or this could be that, or maybe this. It's really hard to argue some of these facts because we have missing pieces still. We definitely do.
Exactly. So we do our best to find the facts, but unless you're doing a PhD on gravitational pulls and yes, space and relativity, it's a very complex subject. Like I was starting to get in through some math and I'm like, whoa.
Well, when I say we're missing pieces, I mean humanity is missing pieces. Like yes, science is missing critical pieces of this. I've actually read stuff where they've discovered so many other planets outside of Pluto that they just stop bothering because they're like, we can't keep redrawing the universe, like our solar system, every time we find a new planet, because yep, there's so many things that far out that until recently we haven't had the telescopes and stuff to look for stuff like that and find it. As technology gets better, the solar system gets smaller. This isn't
exactly
on my list, do you want to, so we always name like crab nebulas and this solar system and that solar system, they all have names of stuff that we're looking at, right? What's the name of our solar system?
The Milky Way, you mean?
Nope, that's our galaxy.
Our solar system?
Our solar system. Earth, Pluto, or not Pluto, but those planets we just named, we're part of a solar system. What is the name of that
solar system? I'm sure I know it. Why am I only thinking of the Milky Way?
That's our galaxy.
Yeah, I know, but I'm having a hard time now. Like, you put me on the spot, and now I forgot. What was one of those things?
No?
Nope.
That's okay. You're actually right. There is not a name for our solar system.
Okay.
What it gets called in Star Trek and stuff when they have to refer to like talking to alien species about our area, they just started calling it the solar system. So they use the name, the old name for the sun as Sol, and that's basically what they named it. But I don't think that's the official name of the solar system. It's just they had to say something in our galaxy.
But I thought that was it, solar system. Like that was because we are based on a big star that we name the sun or Sol.
Mm-hmm. But I came across several facts that basically say our solar system has no name. And then they basically attribute using the word Sol is almost like a placeholder. Because we didn't have a name and we had to call it something, like I said, Star Trek or any of these sci-fi shows that go, well, we're out in space. Where do you come from? Oh, we're from Earth in the solar system.
Fourth quadrant.
We need a name. And then they started calling it Sol because that's what the ancients used to call it. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that we're in the middle of it and there really is no official name for it. There is, but isn't. It's one of those, but...
I think it's going to be really hard nowadays to come up with a name, especially yes, because we have had through history, it's been called the solar system. So,
well, I mean, I already have my name for it. It's going to be Flopsy Fred probably, because those are my two favorite words when I name things in other videos. So our solar system in my mind is called Flopsy Fred, but you know, I'm sure everybody else can make up whatever they want.
Okay. Whatever Ryan says, we will let him do it.
You guys watch our Wild Chats videos, if I'm narrating a clip that's coming out or something, and I always try to pick a name for, like, the animal, if I'm trying to, like, be in their shoes, and it seems like I always pick Fred, and if I give him a nickname, I always call him Flopsy for some reason, so that just became my defaults.
it is true. That's a true statement, if I have heard one. It's okay, you're Ray. What?
You're up or am I up?
I am up. Oh no, I just said about the Pluto and then you talked about the name of the solar system.
Basically, without gravity, and we talked about this in food actually, where we said without saliva, But also without gravity, food does not settle onto your taste buds like we're accustomed to. So basically you get a massively diminished sense of taste. And then you also got to combine that with when you're in lower gravity, all of the stuff in your body floats to the top. So there's pressure behind your eyes. There's pressure on your sinuses. So not only is the food not hitting your taste buds, but then throw on top of that, imagine like you were sick. You can't taste anything when your sinuses are clogged. So you definitely would not want to go have like a Michelin 5-star meal in space, because you would not appreciate it, because you would not taste it for the most part.
I do have a survival tip.
Okay.
So this is actually pretty cool. This is a very important survival tip. If for any reason you're skiing and you get buried by an avalanche, and when you're buried by an avalanche or any type of, it doesn't have to be snow, you're going to lose your sense of where you're at.
Direction.
So you don't know if you're up or down. You will think, oh yeah, no, I'll feel the pressure of my body. But if there is pressure on the top or the sides, you're not going to know. But the best way to find out what is up and what is down is to spit. So if you try to spit and it goes down, then you know that what is down. Or if it goes to the side. So it's the best way to, as a first aid, to begin to find your way out from if you're buried. And you start digging the opposite way.
This isn't to be gross, but if for some reason there are certain situations where we just can't create saliva. Sometimes when you're nervous or haven't eaten or stressed, saliva doesn't work. The second alternative to this is actually to urinate, and it will, whatever direction. So that's your second option. And that's not me being gross. That's very, very honest.
No, I actually think that's a great tip.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you're right. What if you cannot spit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So no, so I think that's a great tip.
Backup plan. It's nice to have them. Let's see. Oh, when the moon is directly overhead, its gravitational pull actually tugs on clouds. So it causes less rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want a when to weigh yourself tip, early in the morning, when the moon is directly overhead, again, it has a gravitational pull on you. So you will weigh the least if you can kind of gauge that and hop on your scale. I think it's between 7 and 9 a.m.
wherever you're at. Yeah, I read that. Something about that.
Directly overhead. So if you want to lose like a tenth of a pound, if for some reason that's going to make your world better, that's when you want to weigh yourself.
Hey, go for it. Whatever helps you. Now, if you do it at the same time every time, it's not like you're going to lose a quarter of a pound every day. Just be aware of that.
Then you depress yourself when you weigh yourself in the middle of the day. And then, yes, it can backfire. Maria is correct. That could go horribly wrong.
Yes. So, Michael Jackson, may he rest in peace, was an amazing dancer. And he actually had he's moonwalking. He learned to lean in the Smooth Criminal video. And this was made possible by some anti-gravity illusion shoe. So they were able to modify the way he was being held so that he could lean down.
Yeah, if you guys have ever seen that Smooth Criminal video, basically he leans forward like to a drastic angle that doesn't look like he should be able to humanly do it. And what they did is they basically put wedges in his shoes. So his heels are still have some traction, so he's able to kind of lean all the way forward. All right, let's see. Bananas. You want to know why bananas are curved, Maria? Or do you know why bananas are curved?
So colloquial perception of seeing bananas grow, because they grow on a bushel. So they tend to curve based on how they land from one another.
Mm.
But there's some bananas that may end up being straight if they're the ones at the bottom.
Incorrect, Maria. Since today's topic is gravity, then it would be a good intuition to guess that it had something to do with gravity. bananas actually are curved because they grow up. So they're essentially growing against gravity towards the sun. And so you get that push of them wanting to grow up, but gravity pushing them down. And that's why you get that bulge. If you take a piece of paper and you push on it from both ends, what's it going to do? You're going to get that little arc, and that's what you're getting in a banana. That's it wanting to grow up and gravity wanting to push down. So
peculiar.
Yep. You have any more fun ones you want to share with us before we head off to the quizzes, Mar?
Ooh, yes, I actually have a good one that I thought was very interesting. But actually several, but I have a good one that is really bizarre. So in 1960s to 1990s to the 1990s, like 1990 in 1963 to 1993. So we're talking about a couple of decades here. There was a party in Canada, a political party called R the Rhinoceros Party. And the Rhinoceros Party was led by someone called Cornelius and a rhinoceros, and promised to repeal the law of gravity and change Canada's currency to bubble gum so that it will inflate and deflate at will.
Did he win? Did the rhino win? No.
Still on debate. I mean, it was several 20, yeah.
Been to Canada in a while. I mean, if I crossed over, went to the ATM and started popping out some bubblicious, I guess I'd get my answer. But I didn't want to have to work that hard to get my answer.
I think the Rhinoceros Party made a grave error, which was to believe everybody wanted or could eat bubble gum.
Okay. All right. I got two quizzes, Mar. What do you got over there?
Ooh, I got one, so you go ahead.
Okay, so I will go first then. Actually break it down real quick for everybody. This is kind of the Jeopardy portion of the show. So I'm gonna ask Maria questions. She's gonna ask me questions. If one of us can't figure it out, we're gonna give the other person some hints. But the fun part of this aspect is for you guys. So just like watching Jeopardy or Family Feud or some of that stuff, where it's just pretty obvious to you what the answer is, and everybody else is an idiot. Have fun, yell at the screen, call us whatever names you want. And if you can't get it right away, hopefully some of our clues will tie you in. And the rule for me and Maria is if we, for some reason, do know the answer instantly, we will wait, because that takes all the fun out of it for you guys. If we just spit it out, then what was the point of it? So basically, we're going to go back and forth for a couple of these. Hopefully, you guys have some fun with them. And I'm going to start off with this. Maria, on which planet in our solar system would you weigh the least?
Which planet on the solar system will I weigh the least?
Yes. And Pluto is out of this race, where Pluto does not count.
I was thinking perhaps a big planet like Jupiter will probably be the one I will probably weigh the least in. But hold on, smaller planets. Yeah, I will go with Jupiter.
All right, I'll give everybody out there. So basically, this is all determined by gravity. And then the gravity is actually, it's not just determined by the size of the planet, it's also determined by the density of what the planet is made out of. So that combination between size and density is really what makes up the gravitational effect on that given planet. And unfortunately, Maria, you've got it exactly opposite of what it would be. So it would be the least dense planet or the smallest planet, you have two factors put together. So Mercury would be smaller, but Mars is less dense. So actually, Mars would be the planet that you would weigh the least on. It would have
Oh,
been
so if
too.
you're in Weight Watchers, go to Mars.
Yes. And then basically, I gave the answer away for part two already, which would have been what planet would you weigh the most on? Given the equation I just gave you, what do you think to be the planet that you would weigh the most on?
So if Saturn weighs the least, hold on, let me see if I got it right. So if Saturn weighs the least, I mean, Mars weighs the least.
Yes.
And then you said something about Saturn.
No, I didn't say anything about Saturn.
You got two planets.
I
Oh,
was just
Mercury
saying
and Mars. Mercury and Mars.
Mercury's smaller, but it's not. It's more dense, so that's why you weigh less on Mars than you do on Mercury. But we're talking about which one would you weigh the most on? And again, it's based on gravity.
I will actually have to know a lot more about the different planets to be able to tell you more, unless,
I've already actually given you the answer
unless
while we
Mercury.
were going through the facts. While we were going through the list of facts, I basically gave you the answer to this one. So if everybody out there is yelling at your screen, I get you. I get you. And if you haven't LinkedIn, then Maria's right with you. So either way, would you like the answer?
Yes, please.
So weight is based on gravity. And what were we talking about earlier? What had so much gravity? It was either going to crash Mercury into the sun or throw it out of the solar system because it has its own.
Oh, because of Jupiter.
Massive gravity. There you go.
So I had him backwards.
You did that. And that was the other reason I'm like, Maria's going to get this because I just told her she had it backwards.
But then I got confused.
Yes. I tried to mislead you so it wasn't as obvious and I succeeded. All right, Mar, what do you got for me and everyone out there?
Wow. So I actually have a quick question of who do you think will survive on a higher gravity planet? So let's say we're going to send a cockroach or a flea into Jupiter. Who will survive a high gravity planet, either a cockroach or a flea?
Okay, so we're not accounting for like the makeup of the planet or anything.
No, we're just accounting for gravity.
Okay.
Which will account for the makeup of the planet. So higher, you said that you will weigh more.
So I don't know anything about fleas, but I have seen videos where literally there's a machine that's pushing down on a cockroach and it just keeps flattening and doesn't crack it or kill it. Like they're some of the most resilient animals on the planet and their body can actually, even though it looks like they're solid, can really contort a lot. Like there's a lot of movement within that harder exterior shell. So having seen that clip online, I'm going to guess the cockroach would do better.
Survive. But again, there's a difference between weight and gravity.
I understand. I'm going with cockroach.
Okay. So a cockroach, they can withstand the pressure more than 120 times the force of Earth's gravity.
Okay.
An astronaut will pass out at 12.
Yes.
So that's a lot more pressure of gravity. But when a flea jumps, its acceleration is so intense that it must withstand 100 times the force of gravity. So they're both adapted very differently. So the cockroach will withstand the pressure, but the flea will be able to jump 100 times. So yeah, you're right. The cockroach.
Huh? Yeah. With the gravity, the flea would actually be able to move around, where the cockroach, because of the gravity, would probably be pinned in place. But they might both survive, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, because they can withstand more than 120 times the force of gravity.
But you do need to eat. So I guess the flea might last longer because it would actually be able to move with that gravity because it has that strength. Interesting hypothetical. Okay. Let's see. NASA sent spiders into space to see how long it would take them to learn how to weave webs in zero gravity. How long do you think it took spiders to relearn how to weave their intricate webs in zero gravity?
How long would a spider take? Okay, so we've talked about spiders being sent, including other animals. Mm-hmm. Talked about it in some other videos. I can't remember what or which ones, I should say. And I think we may have mentioned something about this. And I think it was one day. Or was it one day hunting? Like they were able to go again and relearn how to hunt within a day. So I'm going to say a day.
A day. You think a spider could learn how to weave its intricate, intricate webs in zero gravity within one day?
Mm-hmm.
I would have told you that is just absolutely nowhere near enough time to weave something that intricate had I not read this fact before. And you were oh so close. It's 2 days, Maria.
Okay.
2 days, spiders can relearn how to weave that intricate web in zero gravity.
That's incredible.
Days. It really, really is.
Because I know they said something about hunting and moving around. Like they were able to figure it out really fast.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic time. Mara, is there anything you wanted to share on our way out? Any fun facts, anything? Or did you get all the good stuff out there?
I think one of the things that I found very interesting that I want to close with is that we can see the universe via light. So our eyes perceive the universe and we can make, based on our wavelength, we're able to see the universe. But also we can hear the universe through gravitational waves.
Yes.
So there was a research done in 2017 where researchers were able to hear the waves that resulted from neutron stars colliding. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Something we have never witnessed before. So I thought that was amazing that now we are able to perceive the world, not just by sight, but so many other senses, as we get better with our equipment.
All right, everybody. If you guys enjoyed the show, please do us a favor and click the subscribe button. If you guys are interested in animal stuff whatsoever, please go check out our channel, Wild Chats, where we do a podcast. Where we play a lot of fun and funny animal videos. We get a good chance to kind of laugh. And then we and Maria kind of have a nice, fun general conversation. We share a lot of facts here or there. And then we also have fact videos over there that are all animal-based. So on this channel, you won't be getting anything that's animal-based for the most part because we like to save it for the people over there. But you guys can easily go over to Wild Chats and subscribe there. And everybody that is a Patreon member, we are going to jump on over to the backstage show and we'll see you over there. Everybody else, we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.